Begin the current daf, Masechtas Sanhedrin, daf Ayin Vav. Begin 5 lines down from the bottom, from the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues in the related discussion, in a similar discussion as the previous daf. That is, the Gemara, the top of Ayin Hamad Beis, had brought the source for one of the halachas of our Mishnah, which was discussing Eluhin and Asraf, and these are those that they get the penalty, the death penalty of being burnt, is regarding a person that has relations with certain types of arayis that are forbidden to him. And in that list was Bitoi, Ubas Bitoi, Ubas Benoi, his own grandchildren, which is not the same as Bas Ishtoi and Bas Beno Bas Bita, which that's Me'anusasai, from a woman that he raped, which is only his child. He was never married to that woman to be his wife's grandchildren too. And that has to come out. Where do we know the source for that there's Sreifa? So Abaye said, we know it, and that's how he explained the terminology in the Braisa that says that we compare Zcharim and the Kevites, which Zcharim means referring to his descendants, and the Kevites is that his wife's descendants, which just like over there, we know from Gezer Shav of Zima Zima, that there's going to be Sreifa, as we find by Chamaisai. So too, regarding his own grandchildren, we know from Gezer Shav of Heina Heina, to say that just like over there it says Heina, and so too over here, just like over there, it's going to be Bas Bita and Bas Bina and Bas Bita is going to be Sreifa, which we learn on Gezer Shav of Zima Zima from Chamaisai, which is the source of the punishment of Sreifa of a certain arayis. So too, by his descendants, by Manusasa, is going to be Bas Benoi and Bas Bita. Now on that, the Gemara had asked, but if we're making this Gezer Shava, comparing him and her, Zcharim and the Kevites, so that's how we know his grandchildren are forbidden to him upon the punishment of Sreifa, from her grandchildren, which is forbidden to him upon the punishment of Sreifa, then why don't you do the same thing with ancestors, going upwards? And you should say, just like by her, Aim Ema, her mother's mother is forbidden to him upon the punishment of Sreifa. So too, his mother's mother should also be, and we know that it's actually only rabbinically forbidden for a man to have relations with his mother's mother. So on that, the Gemara gave 2 answers, and the Gemara similarly is going to give in this Gemara's discussion the same type of Amiram with their same answers. Abaye says, because it's a mir of a pasuk, says, Imchahi, she's your mother, which tells you only because of your mother you're chayiv, but you're not chayiv for your mother's mother. It's a mir. Rava said, as we'll explain in detail, the same type of a discussion he says over here, that although the Gezer Shavit should tell you that, as the Gemara was asking over there, comparing him to her relatives to his relatives, but he says it's untenable whether you learn Gezer Shavit out of Dun Mino Umino, which when you learn Gezer Shavit, you learn out from that context everything, or even if you learn Dun Mino Vokiba Astro, which is according to the context that you're learning out too, either way, it's not going to work out whether you hold Skila's Mochamer or Sreifa's Mochamer. Either way, as the Gemara discussed in the previous stuff, that doesn't work out. Now the Gemara continues with a similar question. Since you're including, like the Braisa says in the wording, Zachar Kinekevois, which is you're equating the male to the female, just like as we said, by the female, by his wife, her grandchildren, even from a different man, is forbidden to him upon the penalty of Sreifa, so to his own grandchildren, even if it's not from his wife, he was Ma'anis, that woman. So then the Gemara is asking, the same thing should be the other way. We have Xer Shabbat comparing the two of them, Heina Heina. It should be we should compare the females to the males, meaning his wife's relative to his own relatives. And therefore, based on that, the man should be forbidden to the wife of his stepson. Meaning, imahu kalos asura, just like regarding his relatives, he's forbidden to have relations with his daughter-in-law. Afhi kalos asura, then also he should be forbidden to his wife's daughter-in-law. What do you mean his wife's daughter-in-law? Meaning it's his stepson's, meaning she had a son from a different husband, that son's wife. Now the problem with that is that we know, as the Gemara says in Masechta Yevamos, that a person is permitted in Eishes Chorgoy, in the wife of his stepson. But why? The Gezer Shavah should tell us, just like his daughter-in-law is forbidden, so to her daughter-in-law is forbidden, because we make the comparison of Heina Heina, that Gezer Shavah. So here too, as in the previous Gemara's discussion, Amavai says, Amakra, the Pasuk says in Meyikra, Amiut says, Eishes Ben Chahi, when it talks about the prohibition of one's daughter-in-law, it says, she's the wife of your son, which is Mishim Eishes bin Chatim Chayva. You're only liable for the Isra of Kala of daughter-in-law when she's the wife of your son. V'yat Mechayva Mishim Eishes bina. But you're not liable if she's the wife of her son. And therefore there's a Miyat, as he said, to answer the previous Gemara's question too. Rav Amar, he says, as he said in the previous Gemara's discussion, that he says, no, just the Gezer Shav is untenable. You can't even make the Gezer Shav in the first place. And he says, Bein l'man dama dun mino mino, whether you hold like the one who genuinely learns regarding Gezer Shav, when you learn out something from a different context, where it says over there, let's say, Hein, and it says over here, Hein, you learn out one from the other, you learn out everything regarding that halacha from that context that you're learning from. or whether you're learning like the one who says that no, you learn not the primary concept from there, but then you then apply it to the applications of where you're learning it to, whatever the halacha is in that context generally is, you'll apply it to what you're now adding on from the Gezeirah Shavah too. Either way, says Rav Eliyasib, it's not going to work out of the Gezeirah Shavah. And that's why the question doesn't start, why it's not, that there's no prohibition of his wife's daughter-in-law for this man. As Rav explains, according to the one that says that you learn the Gezeirah Shavah, everything from that context, so it should go as follows. Mahu kalos asura. So you want to make the following Gezeirah Shavah, just like regarding the man. His daughter-in-law is forbidden to him, safhi. So to his wife's daughter-in-law, Nami Kalos Asur, also should be forbidden to him, that daughter-in-law. Now, Umina. So again, and you have to learn that everything from what you're learning from. So you would then go further and say, Mahu, just like by him, his daughter-in-law is Beskila, as the Gemara said on Daf Nun Gilam and Aleph, that there's a punishment of being stoned. Afinamin Beskila, then the context should tell us, based on that, that also regarding her daughter-in-law should be forbidden to him, based on the Gzer Shava, on Skila too. However, that's untenable. Why? Says Rav as follows. Lamanda Meskila Chamur. First, he's going to explain why it's not going to work according to Manda Meskila Chamur, and then even according to Manda Masreva Chamur. According to the one that says, which is a general machlekes they have, which is pertainable to this Gzer Shava. According to the one that learns that Skila, the death penalty of Skila, is the most severe death penalty, then you could ask a question that would refute the whole Gzer Shava from even saying that his wife's daughter-in-law is going to be forbidden to him. Because Maluhu, if regards to the man, his daughter-in-law, Shekin Imoy Beskila, we find his relatives are more stringent to him, because we find that his mother is punishable upon the death of Skila, which is the most stringent one, and therefore it makes sense that we would be more stringent with him and say his daughter-in-law is also forbidden to him. In contrast, Taima Behi, regards to his wife's relatives, Sheima Besreifa, her mother is forbidden to him only upon the death penalty of Sreifa, and therefore maybe it's not so stringent on her relatives to say that her daughter-in-law is also forbidden to him. More of a question number two, is it really possible that Bita Bisrefa, that her daughter will be forbidden to him upon the penalty of Srefa, the Kalasa Biskila, and that but her daughter-in-law, which is not even blood relative to his wife, just through marriage, that should be worse and have Skila? That's untenable. Now, that the Gemara, however, refutes that question. It says, wait a second, that question number two is not difficult. Hu ba'atzma yichiach. What do you mean? Him, his own relatives, could prove that same concept is not true, that second question. Because debita bisreifa, his own daughter, is only sreifa to him, v'kalosai biskila, and yet his own daughter-in-law is more severe, even though it's not blood relative, it's going to be skila. So rather, question number two is, mahu, just like by him, loichlakta boy bein imel kalosai, you don't differentiate between his mother and his daughter-in-law. Both his mother, if he has relations with her, and his daughter-in-law, both their skila. So then, afi, then we should then extend the same thing when we say dumino umino. We learn that everything from the context we're learning from, then also by her relatives, like tachlik ba bin imalis kala. So we should not differentiate between when he has relations with her mother or her daughter-in-law. But that's not coming out. If you learn the Gzeir Shava, her mother is Sreva, like Torah says, but her daughter-in-law, based on the Gzeir Shava, is going to be Skila. But that's contradicted from dumino umino, that based on that, it should also be that there should be no differential and should be Sreva. So therefore, it doesn't work out because you can't have a whole Gezer Shava. Something is going to be contradicted where, based on one concept of the Gezer Shava, it should be Sreifa. Based on another one, it's going to be Skila, and therefore you can't learn the Gezer Shava. Now, Ulamandam is Sreifa Chamur, according to the one that holds that actually burning is the more severe death penalty. So you can't ask the first question because actually her mother is more stringent than his mother. Her mother gets Sreifa, which is the more severe. His mother is only Skila, and therefore we can't say, oh, maybe her daughter-in-law is not going to have because her relatives are not so severe. To the contrary, her relatives are more severe to him than his own relatives. But however, mihai kusha, but at least from the second question, lo in the danyan, we can't learn on the Gzera Shava one from the other, even to make it prohibited in the first place, her daughter-in-law to him. Because as we said, you can't learn out dumina umina, because it's going to come out that there's a difference between her mother and her daughter-in-law, where her mother is going to be Sreif and the daughter-in-law is going to be Skila. And however, on the other hand, is that we said that there can't be any difference. Just like his relatives are no difference, his mother and his daughter, so to her, and his daughter-in-law, so to her shouldn't be any different, but it's going to come out different. So you can't learn the Gzer Shav, and therefore, according to Idam and the Amar, if you hold Dunmino Mina, you can't learn the Gzer Shav. Continues Rav, according to the one that says, we learn Gzer Shava, you only learn at the primary point. But then all its particulars you learn out from the context that it's being learned out to, meaning to the home base. Well, ma'hu kalaser asur, but then you run into the following problem. You're going to say, okay, just like by his relatives, his daughter-in-law is forbidden to him. Afi kalaser asur, so you want to say that also his wife's relatives, her daughter-in-law should be forbidden to him too. But then the exertion would continue, but ba'asra. Then you apply it to its own context, which is hasam hud beskila. So by his relatives, they get skila, like a daughter-in-law, like it says regarding his own daughter-in-law. Aval hacha b'sreifa, what's going to come out over here by her daughter-in-law is going to be that for her daughter-in-law, he's going to have sreifa too, k'da ashkecham be'ima, like we find like by her mother, which is uki ba'asra, which is similar to the halachas, just like by him, his daughter-in-law is like his mother. So too then we should apply to her context, her relatives, that her daughter-in-law should be like her mother for him when he has relations with her mother, this sreifa. So too for her daughter-in-law, there should be sreifa. Now, however, the Gemara now, to Rava goes to explain, according to either man the Amar, which one's more severe death penalty is not going to work out. Lamanda meskila chamurik lamefach, according to the one that says that skila is the more severe death penalty, you could ask, maluhu, if we find by his own relatives, shken imoy beskila, where, okay, his mother has the, when his own relatives, his own mother, has the most severe death penalty, that of skila, so you could understand why then even his daughter-in-law would be forbidden to him, because it's a very stringent types of relatives, his own relatives. In contrast, taima bihi, but regards to her relatives, she'ima b'sreifa, where her mother's only with sreifa, maybe we're not stringent and saying that her daughter-in-law is also going to be forbidden, because it's not as severe as his own relatives. Void, moreover, what did you see fit when you're saying uki ba'asra, to learn out her relatives from the context of her other relatives, which is just like her mother to him is going to be sreifa, so too is going to be her daughter-in-law to him, similar to by his own relatives, where his own daughter-in-law is the same death penalty as his own mother. But the question is, you could say uki ba'asra in a different way and learn it out in a different interpretation. And you could say that, no, since his own daughter, if a man has relations with his own daughter, it's going to be sreifa. And we have to punish his daughter-in-law. Actually, that's more severe than his own daughter, because we're going according to the Meskila Chamura. His own daughter is Sreifa, but his own daughter-in-law is Skila. Now, if that's the way, so then you should say the same thing regarding her relatives. That to say that her daughter, which is by Sreifa to this man, so too you should learn out that her daughter-in-law should be skila, because you have to differentiate and be more stringent between the daughter and the daughter-in-law, just like you find by him, so too that the Gezer Shabbat should say that we shouldn't differentiate and say the same thing by her. Now, mahu chalakta by bimbitoi lekalosei, so then that should tell us that just like regarding by him, you differentiated between his own daughter and his daughter-in-law, that you were more stringent by his daughter-in-law than his daughter, Safi, so then that should apply so too for her relatives, tachlik ba bimbita lekalosei, you should differentiate between her daughter and her daughter-in-law. But that's the problem, based on the Gezer Shava, with not differentiating, it's going to be the same thing, it's going to be learning out that they're both going to be bisreifa, because that's what the Gezer Shava is telling us, for uki ba'asra, which is you're saying the same thing as her mother, which is going to be sreifa, so too is going to be a daughter-in-law, but because that's contradicted by a different element of saying a complete gzeira shava, which would require to be more stringent than bita, which would be skila. Now, this actually would not make it domino umino. The way we're describing it sounds like that we're learning at everything exactly like by him should be by her. Rather, that's just revealing the concept that when you're learning out her relatives from its own context, then you should be stringent more by her daughter-in-law than her daughter, just like you find by his relatives. However, if you're coming to say that, then you could actually say that, but you should not say that. And rather you should say you should compare her daughter-in-law to her mother, just like by his daughter-in-law is the same as his mother. And therefore, which it's hard to know when it says uki ba'asra, which context of uki ba'asra. You could say it's going to be skila, so that should be more severe than her daughter, just like we find his daughter-in-law is more severe than her daughter. And you could also say sreifa, just like by him, his daughter-in-law is like his mother, so to her daughter-in-law should be like her mother. And therefore you can't have the gzeira shava, because it's not clear when it's coming out what's going to be the conclusion of the gzeira shava, because it could be either one, which either one would contradict the other element of the gzeira shava. And therefore you can't say the gzeira shava either according to mandama uki ba'asra. And that's according to mandama skila chamur. And even according to the one who holds that Sreifa is the more severe one. So again, the first question is not difficult, because to the contrary, her relatives are more severe than his, and for sure then daughter-in-law should be forbidden. But Mehai Kush, at least from this last question, you can't go ahead and judge it, because again, we said there's contradictory inferences of the Gezeirah Shavah, which is not clear, and therefore we can't learn out from there that it should tell us that it should have the same death penalty as his daughter-in-law for her daughter-in-law, because it wouldn't be clear. So which one would it be? Gezeirah Shavah, which should tell us exactly like by him, and you can't, because one element will tell us to be Sreifa, one tells us to be Skila, and therefore that's why the Gezeirah Shavah is not telling us also that her daughter-in-law is forbidden like his daughter-in-law. That's why we know that it's actually permitted, as the Gemara says, Yevamis, for a man to have relations with his, to get married to his stepson's wife, to his wife's daughter-in-law. Now the Gemara continues with the Halacha of our Mishnah regarding one of those elements that we said, which was that it's going to be forbidden upon the death penalty of Sreifa, is going to be his own daughter. What do you mean his own daughter, not his wife's daughter? Is because if it's Bita Manusasi, it's a daughter of the woman that he raped, so it's only his child. He was never married to that woman that he raped. And also her daughter, and also his son's daughter, meaning if he had the son from that Anusa, then that son's daughter will also be forbidden upon the death penalty of Sreifa. So ask the Gemara, Bita Manusasi Minayim, where do we know that the daughter from the woman that he raped, that if he has relations with her, it's punishable upon the death of Sreifa? And that is because regarding his relatives, the Pasuk says, Ervas Bas Bincha. The Pasuk talks about that it's forbidden for him to have relations with his son's daughter and his daughter's daughter, which we explained previous daf is told about by Einzin. There it actually doesn't mention anything about the daughter. It mentions his grandchildren, that they're forbidden, and then we know Sreifa based on Zima Zima, but how do we even know that there's a prohibition of Bita to say that there's going to be Sreifa over there? So Mabaye says, Kavochemer. It's a Kavochemer. If al bas bitay anush, if regarding his daughter's daughter, there's going to be a punishment of sreifa al bitay lekoshkin. So regarding his daughter, isn't it a koshkin? As we said previous daf, we know bas bitay from bas bina, from or bas bita, as we learned our heine heine and zima zima. So the daughter for sure. Now that the gemara v'chi enshem and adin, do we know that we don't punish give a punishment from the Torah based on logic, based on a kabbal chaimer. So how do we know that this reifa by bita manasasi? That answers Abaye gilu milsa ba'amahu. This is just a revelation. It's not a kabbal chaimer. In other words, this is not going to be enish min hadin, because his daughter's daughter is only his relative, which is then punishable upon Sreifa, because it's related through his daughter. If his daughter's daughter is going to be forbidden to him upon the punishment of Sreifa, for sure his daughter, who is where the derivative of Baspita is coming from. In contrast, what would be called Einish Madin, giving a punishment based on Kavachem of logic? That would be, for example, when it says in the Torah, Ervas Achayscha, the Erva of your sister, who's the daughter of your father or the daughter of your mother. Now, I would only know from that pasuk either or. Either she's the daughter of your father, but not the daughter of your mother, or the daughter of your mother, not the daughter of your father. If you're coming to say that the punishment will apply even if she's your sister, both from your father and your mother, that's from a kal v'chaimer, that's called einish min hadin, because there, that sister who's both your sister because you had married parents, that's not coming through each one's power. It's its own mitzias, its own relative. It's a kavuchaymer, you would think, if either one, but that's Einish Min Adin. But either one is its own relative. It's not coming through Bitay, the Achayse Me'ima or Achayse Me'aviv. In contrast, by Bas Bitay, she's only related to you through the Bitay, and therefore that's not a kavuchaymer, even that's just a Gila Milz Ma'ama. Of course, that's included in Bas Bitay, which is going to be Bitay Manasas. Rav Amay gives a second approach. He says, "Amli Yerbitzchik Be'Avdim." He says, "Because As Yehena Hena, we learn out from the Gzer Shav of Hena Hena for an Iser, where it says by his relatives the term Hena. It says by her relatives Hena. Just like over there, and that's actually what we learned in the previous daf. Abaye had said his own grandchildren from our grandchildren, but in there also that same Gzer Shav is going to teach us regarding his own daughter." Because just like over there by her relatives, her daughter is like her daughter's daughter, here also his daughter is going to be like his daughter's daughter to be forbidden. Now once you include in that Isser that his daughter is like his daughter's daughter, then you learn out Asya, you learn out that there's going to be Sreifa from the other Gzeres Shava, which we explained this in the previous half of Zima Zima, like his daughter's daughter, which we learn out from her daughter's daughter, where it says over there Zima, so it's like it says over here Zima, and just like Becha Moise, it says Zima, and there it's Sreifa here also, it's going to be Sreifa, which, again, we already know it includes Bitay from Gzer Shav of Heina Heina from her relatives. A third approach, Tani Avua Dirabavin, the father Abavin taught that Since we didn't learn anywhere in the Torah that it says that there's the punishment of Strefa for his daughter from the woman that he violated, that he raped. So therefore teaches this halacha, teaches the price. So that's why the pasuk had to teach him a yikra, a source for this halacha, where it says, Uvas ish kain, and the daughter of a man that's a kain. Now the pasuk should have just said, Uvas kain, the daughter of a kain. Why does it say Uvas ish, the daughter of a man? It's coming to tell you a different halacha, included in those words, when it's the daughter of a man. What do you mean daughter of a man, and not the daughter of a woman? Yeah, she's only his daughter because his wife was he was never his wife, he was never married to her. It was Malner Sasa, it's from a woman that he raped, which is not Bas Ishtai. That's what the Pasuk there teaches, Kisecha, Lizna Sesavia. Now, the simple translation of the Pasuk is, when the daughter will desecrate her father by being Mizana, that's by Bas Kayin, so she gets Srefa. In this context, it's actually being translated as that when she will desecrate Liznes Esavia to have Znus from her father, then there's going to be Srefa. So that's the source for if a man has relations with Bita Manasasi, with his own daughter, then he's going to get Srefa. Well, not the Gemara says, wait, if that's the case, but Ima Bas Kayin, but then you shall learn now from the context of that Pasuk, just like we find over there in that Pasuk, the Bas Kayin, who when she's married and she's Mizana with another man, the halacha is, he besreifa, only the woman gets Sreifa. Vein Bayala besreifa, but the one who has relations with her does not get Sreifa, because it says there in the Pasuk that it says, he Mechalelis, but Eishli Sarf, she gets burned, killed through burning. But not the one who has relations with her. Oh, so then, if that's the case, av bitu man nasase. So then, the halacha of his daughter from the woman that he raped, who's included in that pasuk, should also be he b'sreifa, that only she gets the sreifa. The ain b'ayala b'sreifa, but the father who is having relations with her should not get sreifa. So how do you have the source for the halacha of our mishnah that bitu man nasase he gets sreifa? So Amabayi says no, because Amakra the pasuk says, which is qualifying the miut of that only he tisarif. It says because Esavi hi mechalelis, because she's desecrating her father. The father didn't do anything, he's an upstanding kain. The daughter goes and is Mizana when she was married as an Eishes Ish. Well, that's desecrating her father's status, so she gets Sreifa. That's when only she gets Sreifa and not the Boyal. But Misha mechalelis, that's only because Misha mechalelis Esaviya. It's when the woman is desecrating her father. Yatsa Suzu, that excludes this case of what we're learning from the words of Bas Ish. She'aviyah mechalallah, where her father is desecrating her, her father is being mizana with her, then you don't have the mir of he tisarif ve'in boyal tisarif. Here it's going to be that her and the boyal, meaning the father in this case, will get sreif as we learned in the Mishnah. Or another approach, Rav Ami, he says that bishle mahasam, we could understand over there by bas kayin, which is talking about either that she's married or she's engaged. That's what the pasuk told me, as the Gemara taught in Perek Dalet Mises. So you could say that when afikse, when the Torah excludes the bayal, the man who's having relations with her, we're excluding him midin de bas koyin from the unique halach of bas koyin, where there it's sreifa, vokim ta'adina, and then it could put it and maintain it on the law of someone who has relations with a regular married woman of a debas yisrael, not a bas koyin, of a bas yisrael, because the Bas Kayin who's married is not any less than Eishes Re'eyu, than a regular married woman, which then will be Chanek. So it won't be Sreifa. But Hacha over here, when the man has relations with his daughter, there, it's because of that they're related. Whether she's single or married, father is forbidden to his daughter. Now, if you would be removing the father from the law of the daughter, because you're saying that's only he Tisarf and not Avia, but then Adina Deman Mukmislay, then what law are you going to give to the father? Adina de Panuya Mukmis law, so you're going to give him the law of a man who has relations with a regular single girl? But what is that? That's not any death penalty. Obviously, you can't remove him from the whole thing categorically. How can you say he's going to be potter? How can you make it like as if he didn't do anything and she's going to get killed and he's going to be potter? But the Gemara tells him, Baba Kamat Zayin Mabeis, that the man and the woman in these forbidden relationships or in any context of Isurim get the same punishment. So obviously, that's not telling us a miyat, and rather it's going to be that the father will get sreifa just like the daughter, and it cannot be excluded like in the regular, in that context of that pasuk, which is bas kayin, and that's how we know that bitum and the sase will have sreifa. Now the Gemara asks, so up until now we explain how do we know the punishment of sreifa applies to bitum and the sase, which was the halacha of our Mishnah. But now the Gemara asks, azhar la bitum and the sase. Now where do we know that there's even a prohibition, that there's a warning, as we've said times before, that the Torah should tell us both azhara and an einish? Where do we know that it's even prohibited to have relations with bitum and the sase? So and that explains the Gemara Bishlam Alabai Rabbah. We had three different approaches for how do we know that there's Sreifa by Bidim and Nasasi. Now, according to Abai and Rava, who one learned out from a Kavah Chaimer, if Bas Bitai, for sure, Bitai, which was said Gila Milsa Ba'almahu, or that it was learned out from Gzeir Shav of Heina Heina, so we could say, and then we learned that Zima Zima, which tells us the Sreifa. So, Mehecha, the Nafkalu Einish, wherever they learn out that there's going to be a punishment of Sreifa for Bitim and Nasasi, so Mahasim Nafkalu Asar from there is where they learn out that there's going to be Ashar, as we said, because it's in that Pasuk is where it talks about the Ashar of Bas Bitai includes the Ashar of Bitai, as we said from Gzeir Shav of Heina Heina. The punishment of Sreifa is actually learned from Sreifa, or we know it from that Kavah Chaimer again, or Heina Heina, either one. So and that's the Pasuk actually that talks about the Ashar, and then we know by extension the Sreifa of Zima Zima. But according to the third approach in the Gemara, from the Brisa of the father of Rebavin, that learnt out from the Pasuk of Bas Ish Kayin, if she's the daughter of a man, which would be the Manasasai, that whole Pasuk is talking about not Ashara, it's talking about the punishment of that is going to be Sreifa. So my, according to him, but where do you know that there's a Hazhara for Bidim Manasasai? So remember below, he says, Amakra, the Pasuk says in Meikra, Al Techal Es Bitcha Lahaz Naisa, do not desecrate your daughter to have her have Znus, which is teaching us, don't desecrate her by having znus with your daughter. So you see, there's hasara of having relations with one's daughter. Maskevler Rabbi Yaakov Achud, Rabbi Achabai Yaakov, but Rabbi Yaakov, the brother of Rabbi Achabai Yaakov, asked, Hayat techal es bitchel asnois, that pasuk of don't desecrate your daughter to be mezanahar, lahachi hu da'asa, is that really what the pasuk is teaching about the father having znus with his daughter? Haimi boyle, look at the time, but that's necessary to teach a divan halacha, as we learned in the following brisa. It says, Al techal es bitchel asnois, do not desecrate your daughter to have her be mezanah. Says the Brisa, Yachal, you would think, Bekayin Hamasi is Bita Lalevi Vyisrael HaKazim Adabah, that the Torah is talking about regarding a Kayin father who marries off his daughter to a Levi or to Yisrael. Why? Because he's, in a sense, desecrating her, invalidating her from the sanctity of his family of Truma, as long as she's married to a non-Kayin, whether it be a Levi Yisrael. On some level, he's desecrating her. It's like her being Mazana by losing that status. And therefore, that would be prohibited in this Pasuk. Tamalama says the Bryce, you know, the word says lahaznoisa, to have a du's nus. Bechilash beznusa kazamadab. It's not just any desecration of, let's say, losing the sanctity of truma of kuhuna. It's talking about a chil of znus, which is something that is a prohibited relationship here. It's not nothing prohibited for a bas kohen to marry a Levi Yisrael. Rather, it's talking about b'meisres bitei, when a man gives over his daughter to a man for a be'ila of znus, that there's something wrong with the cohabitation, shalei l'shemishas, not for the purpose of marriage. That's something that's the Pasuk's warning of father, don't do that to your daughter. So that's what the Pasuk's teaching. So how can you say that it's teaching for the father not to have znus with his daughter? And that says the Gemara, Im came, but if that was the case, like the Braisa, then lemakra al tochel. Then it should have said that don't desecrate with one lamed. My al techalel. What is it? Why does it say in, sounds like two desecrations? Do not be mechalel your daughter lasnaisa shema minotarti. So yeah, we learn out two things. We learn out don't be mezana with your daughter, and don't give her over to other men in situations of nos, not for isha's purposes. So they both learned that from this pasuk of al techal. Now the Gemara asks, v'abaye v'rava, hay al techal las bitch lasnaisa. So this extra lama, this extra drasha from don't desecrate your daughter to have her be mezana, my avdilei, what do they do with it? They don't need the extra lama to teach that the father should not be mezana with his daughter, because that they learn out from their sources of the other pasuk, where it talks about bas bitoy and bas benoy. So Amr Amani says, you're right, the extra lama, according to them, is teaching a different, similar halacha, of just like not giving over your daughter to for non-marital purposes, on a similar, even when it's for marital, but it's the same thing of like giving her over for znus. Zehamasi is biti lizakin. This talks about a man who marries off his daughter to an older person, an older man. And since the daughter of his, it's a young girl, she's not going to be accepting of this older man that she's married to, so she's going to go ahead and she's going to be mezana in this marriage. She's going to have relations with other men. Katan, like learn the braisa. Al techal es bitchel asnoisa, do not desecrate your daughter to make her have znus. Reb Eliezer Omer, he says, Zehamasi is Bita Lizak, and this talks about a man who marries off his young daughter to an older man. That's what's learned from the extra lamed. P'kivim, he gives a different interpretation. He says, Zehamasha Bita Begeris, this is someone who delays his older daughter, who's already the age when she desires to be with a man, and he's not marrying her off. So he's going to go ahead and let her be herself, open her up to all other types of men, and be mezan with other people because her father's not marrying her off. Now, related to this idea, the Gemara brings the Amr of Kan Mashim Reb Akiva, and the name of Akiva, who this teaching was taught from, Ein lecha ani be Yisrael. There's no pauper in the Jewish people. Gemara later on is going to explain what does this have to do with what we're about to teach. El Rosh Arm, but a crafty, wicked person. And Vahamasha Bita Begeres, someone who delays his older daughter, who's already over the age of 12 and a half, who's ready to get married, delays her from getting married. Now the Gemara asks, wait a second, there's no pauper in the Jewish people but these two people who are a wicked, crafty person and someone who delays his daughter from getting married. Now, Otto Hamasha Bita Begeres, do you think someone who delays his older daughter from getting married, Lav Rasha Armu, isn't he the same as the first category? That he's a wicked, crafty person? Because he's delaying her from getting married because he wants her household help, which is a wicked, crafty person, where he's causing her to be Mezana because of his own personal pleasures, that he doesn't want to buy a maidservant to help him and serve him. He'd rather have his older daughter, so he's holding her up. That's not Rasha Arm. So Amabai says, no, to the contrary, and that's how he explains the whole teaching, as we continue to Amabai, he says, Hachikama. It was actually teaching one idea. Izehu Ani Rasha Arm. Who is a pauper that because of his poverty is a wicked, crafty person? Zahamasha Bita Begaris, that's someone who delays his older daughter from getting married. In other words, that there is no pauper who is such a wicked, crafty person amongst the Jewish people as the one who delays his daughter from getting married. Yeah, there are other Rasha arms, as Taisa says. But a wicked pauper that's crafty is talking about a guy who doesn't have money and he doesn't let his daughter get married because he wants her help around the house. That's someone that's an Ani Rasha arm. A similar idea, V'am Rav Kan Mishrim Kiva from Rav Kan, the name of Rav Kiva. Be careful for someone who gives you counsel for his own personal pleasure, which is they're saying, no, I don't want you to get married, and no, it's not good for you. Be careful if someone has a bias when they're giving you counsel, lafi darka. Now, Amar Yehuda Merav, he says, Hamasi is biti lazakin, as we said this idea before, if someone marries off his daughter to an older man, or Hamasi ish lebnei katan, if someone marries off a woman to his minor son, or if someone returns a lost object to a non-Jew, for these three things, Allah Kasvam, the Torah says, the Pasuk in Devarim, Laman suffice. So that there should be a connection, like we find in Yeshaya, Safu, Shana, Shana, adding on year after year, to connect Harava, which is someone who's satiated with this thing, which is like the term of saturated, with Esat Smeya, with the one who's thirsty for the thing. Meaning, when you have, let's say, marrying off an older man to a young girl, where the young girl is desirable for relations, and the older man is satiated already, doesn't want that. So to an older woman to his minor son, or returning a lost object to a non-Jew, where he equates and connects the non-Jew to the Jew, and he shows by himself that the mitzvah of a Shabbos Aveda is not so chashev to him because of the mitzvah of his creator, because he does it even for non-Jews who he's not commanded to do it. Where in that context, the Rava, the satiated one, is the non-Jews, because they're not thirsty for their creator to do his commandments. And that's being, this person's combining that with the thirsty ones of the Jewish people who do desire and are thirsty to fear their creator and to fulfill his mitzvahs. Such a person who puts them together, the thirsty one with the satiated one, lo yoiva Hashem slechle, the Pasuk says Hashem will not desire to forgive such a person. That's the common denominator of those three things, putting together an older man with a young girl, who's also, I mean, a young mature woman, who is going to be this tzmeya with the Rava, so to a young boy who doesn't desire with a mature woman, and the guy returning the Aved to the guy into the Yisrael, where that's connecting the tzama with the Rava, that's inappropriate. These are different categories, and therefore Hashem does not forgive such a person. Now, regarding one of these halachas, the Gemara asks Meisrif in the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Ha'ayev es ishtay kegufa. If someone loves his wife like his own body, the mechabda, and he honors her by buying her beautiful jewelry, yaisim kegufa, more than his own body, the hamadrach banav v'benayisim b'derech yishar, and he directs his sons and his daughters in the straight path, the hamasin somach lepirkan, and he marries them off near their period of maturity when they're still minors, Allah v'kazavayim, regarding such a person, the Pasuk says in Eiv, v'yadata kishol malacha, you will know that your tent will be peaceful, v'kadata nadecha v'leisechta, you will visit your abode, and there will not be any sin over there. Which we see that these are very upstanding things, and for Shalom Bayis, other things for Chinuch. Now one of the halachas were that he marries off his children before they become adults. Once they get adults, it's already too late. So you see that that's an appropriate thing to do. To marry them off when the minors, when we said just before, if he marries off a woman to his minor son, then that's considered lo yev Hashem slayach lo. Says the Gemara, no, samach le pirkan shami. right before they get mature, that's different because they're not so young. Because a year or half a year, the wife that you marry him off to will not go ahead and be mezana. In contrast, the previous brayso was talking about that when they're very young, then it's an appropriate thing to do because the wife will not be have any fulfillment from the boy who's very young and does not desire tashmish. That's inappropriate. In contrast, over here, they're about to become mature, but before they do, get them and marry them off young, that's an appropriate thing of Yedate Kishama Lecha. Now, the brayso there actually concludes, Tanya Rabban in the brayso, says over there, if someone loves his neighbors, from a karavas krayvav, and he brings closer his relatives, and he marries his sister's daughter, his niece, meaning through his sister, and he lends money to a pauper in his time of need. Regarding him, the pasuk says, "Nishaya us tikka." Then he will call out, "Vashemiana," and Hashem will answer him. Where before that, the pasuk had said, "Halei paris larav lachmecha." It goes on; it talks about giving your bread to the poor, and it says, "Umabesarchal to Salam," and do not turn a blind eye from your own flesh, which refers to marrying his sister's daughter, who that's taking care of that shidduch problem of his niece. It's also bringing his relatives closer, which is from Mipsarchal to Salem. Now, similarly, someone who loves his neighbors is actually from the same concept as bringing his relatives closer. Like the pasuk says in Mishlei, Chav Zayin, Toiv Shachin Karv Ma'ach Rachik. It's better a close relative than a distant brother. So if you should bring your relatives closer, for sure a close relative, to love them too. Now, and regarding to lending the pauper money at his time of need, that's including where the pasuk says over there, Paris L'Rav Lachmecha, spend not your bread to the poor, where you see that there's a need for them. That's what the pasuk gives that bracha of, then the person will call out if he does these things, and Hashem will answer. Now, the Gemara concludes our Mishnah's discussion by going back to one of those in our Mishnah that we spoke about, which was Chamais, which actually was the source of all those in our Mishnah of Arayas, that for Bitai and Bas Bitai and Bita, Bas Bita, all those that there's going to be, as we said in the previous daf, the punishment of Sreifa, the source of that was Chamaisai. Now, Tarnabon Lun the Brayso, the Pasuk actually says over there in Vayikra, says, V'isha Shayika Chasisha Besima, if a man will take his wife and her mother, Zimahi, that's something that's inappropriate of immorality. So, Be'ishi Sreifa, they'll get burnt in the fire, that's the source of Sreifa. And the Pasuk says, Isai Vasan, him, the man who has relations with his wife and his mother-in-law, and eshen. What does eshen mean? So the first opinion says, Eisoi ves achas mehen, him and one of those two, Devi Rabbi Shmuel, that's the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Because Rabbi Shmuel understands, as the Gemara will explain shortly, that it means es achas mehen, one of them, because in Greek, they call the word achas, one, heina. So when it says eshen, it's talking about heina, which the pasuk is saying, if a man will take a woman, that means his wife, then as ima, her mother, be'esh yisraifu, they will get burnt in the fire. Who's them? Him and his mother-in-law. Isai ve'esen, him and that one of them, which is the one of them, not his wife didn't do anything wrong, his mother-in-law. That's the word of Rabbi Shmuel. Bekivam, he says, isai ve'eshtehen. It means him and them, because generally eshen is like eschem, it means them. It means him and the two of them. Now the Gemara explains, so what are they disagreeing about? Because you most definitely cannot say, Rabbi Kiva means to say, that the two women, his wife and his mother-in-law, get sreifa because his wife didn't do anything wrong. His wife was married appropriately to him. It says the mother-in-law who did something wrong, her mother. So they're asking him, my benai, so what's the difference between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva? So Abaye says, Mashmoy's dershim, the understanding of how we expound the wording of the pasuk, that's the difference between them halachically, no difference. But how we expound it, how so? Shmuel Sava, he holds, when it says Eisei ve'esen, him and eshen, it means Eisei ve'es achas men, him and one of them. Shekem b'lashon yivanu, because in Greek, karen la'achas heina, we call achas one, heina, and that's going on his mother-in-law. And ve'em chamoisei, his mother-in-law's mother, midrasha, is learned out from a drush of zima. Asya, that's what we learned it out, as we said in the previous daf on Ayin Heyim Abayz, that how do we know to make Lamata, Kalamala? We learned out this whole thing, how we know that his mother-in-law's mother is learned out from the lower generations, which is her daughter's daughter, and we learned it out previously. That's how we know Eim Chamais, and that's what actually we referenced this Machlaikis in the previous daf, where, but according to the halacha of everyone's agreeing that it's talking about only the mother-in-law, that's the punishment. But then, well, how do we understand, what are they disagreeing when it says eshen? So he says, eshachasman, it's only talking about one of them. Who's the one of them? Obviously, the mother-in-law. Now, Rabbi Kiva saw, but he reads the words Eisei ve'eshen. What does it mean, Eisei ve'eshen? Eisei ve'eshtehen. Him and the two of them. Who is the two of them? Again, Rabbi Kiva agrees, it's not talking about his wife. It's talking about his mother-in-law and his mother-in-law's mother. And his mother-in-law's mother is actually explicitly written in the Pasuk. When it says, Yisrafu Eisei ve'eshen, that he and them will get burnt, it means the two mothers. For example, if he took a wife, and he then had relations with his wife's mother, and his wife's mother's mother, that's Eshen, that's the two of them. So that's the machlik, is what's going to come out according to between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. That's one approach in understanding that. Rav Amma, he gives a different interpretation. He says, Chamoisi la'achar misa ikbenayu. Their machlik is if his wife passes away, and then he has relations with his mother-in-law after his wife passed away, that's the difference between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. But regarding his mother-in-law's mother, according to both of them, according to Rava, both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva will hold that learned out from a drasha, as we taught in the previous daf, from the lower generations of his wife, so too the upper generations, where there goes two generations down, so too over here goes two generations, meaning three generations up. So what's their machloik? It's regarding the mother-in-law after his wife's death. Rabbi Shmuel Saba, he holds Chamoisi La'acha Misa V'Sreifa, having relations with his mother-in-law even after his wife passed away, is punishable upon the death of Sreifa, just like when his wife was alive, because that's what the Pasuk is saying. Even if only one of the two women that he's related to, his wife and his mother-in-law, are still around, because his wife died, only his mother is alive, it's still going to be Tisarif. As we said, because most definitely it's not going on his wife, to say if his mother-in-law passed away, then if he has relations with his wife, that they'll be Sreifa. Whereas Rabbi Kiva, he held that, no, when it says the word Eshen, it means both of them, meaning if his wife is still alive, then he'll get Sreif of having relations with his mother-in-law. But if not, then actually it's not going to be a punishment of Sreif, rather, it's going to be Isura Ba'am, it's just going to be a prohibition, like it says in the Torah, Arur Shoichivim Chesante. Cursed is the one who has relations with his mother-in-law. So that's going to be the prohibition. But regarding the death penalty of Sreif, that's only if Eshen, if they're both alive, if his wife passed away, of his Isha, that's the machlik is when you're Shimon Rikiv, if there's going to be Sreifa in that context. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the next death penalty, where we already spoke about Skila and Sreifa. Now we move on to Elohin Hanarogin, and these are those that get the death penalty of being beheaded, which is by the sword. They are Haritzach, a murderer, V'anchei Anidachas, and the men of the subverted city, which are when the majority of the inhabitants of a city are incited to do Avodah Zarah, then they're killed by the sword. So explains the Mishnah, Ritzach, regarding a murderer, Shehikes or Eyu, that he killed, he hit his friend, Be'evan or Be'barzel, with a stone, or with a piece of iron, or V'kavish Olav, or he actually grabs a hold of that person, that his friend's head, and he holds it down, L'teich HaMayim, in the water, so that the guy can't pick his head up, and he's going to drown and die, Eyu Teich HaAri, holds his head down into a fire, Ve'en Yochel Lalis Mesham Ames, and he can't get his head out, and he dies. So Chayiv, in all these cases, the murderer is going to be liable for the death penalty of beheaded. Now, but let's say Dach v'Letech HaMayim, let's say he pushes him into the water, or into the fire, and he could get out, but he ends up dying. Then he's going to be exempt. A different halacha, Shisabai, if he incites on his friend, as Hakelev, a dog, or Shisabai as Anachash, or he incites a snake to go ahead and bite this person, and the person dies, Potter is exempt because he didn't do anything. It was a grum. Whereas Hishach by a Sanachash, but if let's say he actually holds the snake in his hand and he goes and he brings the snake, he puts the teeth of the snake right there on the hand of his friend, then Rabbi Huda Machai, Rabbi Huda, then he is going to be liable for the death penalty. Whereas Vachacham Paitrim, they say he's going to be exempt, which the Gemara is going to explain to Machlik Zbiud and Rabbanon later on, Daf Ein Ches, Amen Aleph. Now, the Gemara asks, Amar Shmuel, Memneima loy nemer yad the barzel. Why doesn't it say the terminology of holding it in his hand when it comes to killing another person in the Torah, when it talks about with iron, with steel? Because as the Pasuk says in Bamidbar Lamed Hey, when it talks about with stone or with wood, it uses the term be'evan yad, the stone that he's holding in his hand, or be'kli eitz yad, or in the wooden utensil that's in his hand, which sounds like that the murder weapon has to be something that he could grab a hold on, that there's a certain minimum measurement that it has to have. In contrast, by metal, it just says, v'im b'chli bars liko, if he hits him with a metal tool. Doesn't say that it's in his hand. Like, it doesn't sound like it needs a minimum measurement of what it needs to hold in the hand. So says Shmuel, sha bars l'meimis b'cholshu, because the reason is because actually iron could kill even with just a minute amount. If you take a needle and you stick it into his throat or into his heart, that could kill him. Doesn't have to have a minimum measurement of holding in the hand. Says the Gemara, Tanam Hoch is similar in the Braisa. Rabbi Yemi, he says, Golub Yadulav Nemisham of Ahayoilim, it was revealed and known in front of the one who said and created the world. Shabaz Lamemis Bacholshu, that metal, iron could kill with even a minute amount. Lafikach Lenitna Tyra by Shir, therefore the Torah does not give a measurement when it comes regarding killing, murdering with steel. Now, but says the Gemara, Vahanamil, that was only said, the Barzi Mivris, if that he goes and he sticks it into him, if he pierces him with it. But if, let's say, he hits him with the tool on the length of the person, not inside him, like a way of hitting, then yes, yeah, says the Gemara, that would require measurement of that it's enough to have killed the person, just like we need for wood or for a stone. Now the Mishnah said, another way of murdering someone is holding him down inside the water. And so it says, if he couldn't have gotten out, then you chayev. If he could have gotten out, then you pater. So the Gemara explains, Reisha Revusik HaMashmalan, the first case is teaching us a Chiddush, and Besefer Revusik HaMashmalan, the second case, when they say your pater is also teaching us a Chiddush. How so? Reisha Revusik HaMashmalan, the Reisha, the first halacha, is teaching us a novelty, which is Avagav Delav Ihu Dachvay. Even if he's not the one who pushed him into the water or the fire, rather he fell in by himself. But then this guy comes and holds him down and doesn't let him pick up his head. Since he can't get out because of this person, that's why he dies. So the chayv is going to be liable for this person's death. Whereas, and safer v'usakamashmalan, the safer when we say that his pater is teaching us a chiddush, is avagav the dachva, even if he's the one who pushed him into the water, into the fire. But kiven the yochel lalis misham, since he could get out, meaning another person just like this person could have usually gotten out, and it's just this person at that time just didn't get out, and he ended up dying. But since he could have gotten out, Umeisan, he died, so Patas is the one who pushed him in, who didn't do something that was the full magnitude of having killed someone, because the person technically could have gotten out, so then he's going to be Patas. And those are the things that is the Chiddush of the Reisha and the Seifa. Now the Gemara has Kavish Menon, where do we know that actually, that there is a liability for killing someone by holding him down? The Torah talks about regarding hitting him, so we know regarding using a murder weapon that one is liable. How do we know if just by holding him down in the fire, the water, there's liability? Amar Shmuel says, because Amakar, the Pasuk says an extra word in Bamidbar, when it talks about in the parasha, but it says, Oy be'eva, or with hatred. Why does it say that? L'rabbis, es, hametzamtzim, to include the one who presses down, who maintains, keeps the person confined, that he can't get out, from those extra words, Oy be'eva, teach us that not only if, like when it says, he kobiyadu, the next words say, but even if he just holds him down in the fire or in the water, he's going to be liable for that person's death. As we said in our Mishnah, these are the neragin, the murderer is going to get the death penalty of being beheaded.